So we have been discussing in sequence the verses from the six Shastakam prayers, and we have reached verse number six. Unfortunately, this is the last installment of this lecture, so we're going to try to cover six and mention a little bit about verses number 7 and number 8. Sri Six Shastakam prayers, as we had introduced in the first discussion, is the full embodiment of the science of bhakti from the beginning stages of faith all the way up to the highest stages of Krishna prema in its topmost expression of devotion, which is impossible to speak about, to understand, and to, what we say, exhaust. It's unlimited. So, in thinking about how to give this class, I was thinking, my God, what am I going to say? This is a little bit too much elevated subject, but it's important to hear about it. So as we practice our devotional service, we start to see, if we're very much introspective and observant, we start to see certain symptoms in ourselves developing and certain things changing. In fact, we change quite radically as we develop in our devotional service. What was there in the beginning, in our initial stages of coming, is pretty much gone as we, what we say, practice regularly the process of pure devotional service. As we go through the different stages, there is different symptoms that, and these symptoms are both, falling away of unwanted things and taking on of spiritual characteristics, qualities, and emotions. So we have discussed the first five verses, which is the first, six stages of bhakti. Yeah. Adau strada, saru sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, Nishta and Ruchi. Now this verse here is the sixth verse, and it's the seventh stage in the elevation to perfection. And this is called Bhava Bhakti. So now we have finished with those verses that deal with the process of Sadhana Bhakti. Now we enter another realm of bhakti, which is the beginning of affectionate expressions of loving sentiments for Krishna. And this verse, spoken by Lord Chaitanya, indicates some of these symptoms that practitioner is exhibiting. And it's a combination of longing and experiencing at the same time. Longing for higher levels of expression of love, and at the same time experiencing levels of expression of love. It's simultaneous. So I think we could all read it together. Nayanam Garudasudharaya Vaddanam Gadgara Rudaya Gira Pulakayar Nichitam Vapukada Tavanama Grihame Bhavishyasi. When will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up? And when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? I'm chanting the holy names of the Lord, but at the same time, I'm longing to experience that loving emotions and the symptoms of those loving emotions that come with my service to you, especially chanting Hare Krishna. These verses are actually taking us through various levels of chanting of the holy name. Now, through that chanting, after developing a sweet taste, that taste turns into affection. It's still sweet, but it develops a genuine, strong affection for Krishna. And some of the symptoms are mentioned in this verse. When will my voice choke up? In other words, when will I become overwhelmed with emotion that I can't even speak? When will tears decorate my eyes? Tears, we might say, are not considered decorations of the eyes. But when they are imbued with love, then those eyes become beautiful. And the tears are actually symptoms of loving emotion. And the last one, when will the hairs on my body stand at end at the recitation of your name? So Lord Chaitanya is actually mentioning three of the eight symptoms that is called sattvika bhava ecstasies. On the higher stages, all eight manifest simultaneously, and one becomes overwhelmed with loving emotion. Here, this is the preliminary stage of love. Love is coming, but it's not fully blown yet. The example might be given as a flower develops from its seed into a little sprout, and that sprout continues to grow and starts to grow into an actual plant. The plant starts to show different leaves, and then the flower buds start to manifest. But the flower is not fully there yet, although symptoms of that flower's appearance are being shown as the buds are starting to, what we say, open. So we might say that the heart is not fully immersed in love, but it's feeling intense affection for Krishna. So this verse is, and in the same time, Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of a devotee, is hankering for more. When, oh when, he's begging, oh when, will I be able to really experience true loving emotions for you? The longing for love and the experience of love is actually simultaneous, or actually synonymous, you might say. In order to reach love, one has to long for love. One has to make an effort to exhibit loving emotions, not in a pretentious way, but as one practices devotional service, symptoms of those emotions start to arise within the heart and in the mind of the practitioner. And one can offer those in loving emotions to the Lord. Not like the Sahajiyas do. There's a class of people who like to, what we say, presumptuous perform some kind of dramatical exhibition to show how much they love God by crying falsely, rolling on the ground, and trying to exhibit different kinds of symptoms. We see that. One time there was one person who came to see Prabhupada. He came into the room. Prabhupada was there with a few of his associates. And the man just paid his obeisances to Prabhupada in a very emotional way and then started to roll on the ground. And the devotees were looking, wow, a genuine lover of God. Prabhupada said, just kick him. So they did, and then he got up and ran away. That means it was all a show. And Prabhupada also says sometimes they do that. They roll on the ground, and then nobody really pays much attention to them, so they take the dust of Vrindavan and brush it off them, and then light up a bidi cigarette and leave. So this is not what we're talking about. People want to make a show out of bhakti. But bhakti is a real expression of love for Krishna, and these symptoms are genuine when it's performed in accordance with the rules and teachings of the spiritual masters. And they naturally exhibit. So actually, we should look forward to coming to these stages of loving emotion. And this is the purpose of this process of bhakti, to come to the platform of full love for Krishna. Now, it's mentioned here, prema is guaranteed by Krishna only after intense longing for you. Prabhupada says, if you want to experience love for Krishna, you have to cry for it. He says, this is the price you have to pay. Tears of longing for Krishna's loving exchange like that. This indicates these emotions starting to well up within the heart and mind, but not fully developed in the, what we say, complete ecstasy here. These things come, these symptoms of ecstasy are not voluntary. They come naturally. I was in Slovenia and I was giving a class, and we were talking about that when you chant the holy names of the Lord, the hairs on the body will rise up automatically through the ecstasy of chanting. So there was one devotee there, and she said, Maharaj, I was sitting in my room, and I was chanting, and I was chanting, and then I looked and I saw all my hairs on my body were standing up. I was thinking, am I experiencing ecstasy? But then I realized the heat went off and I was just cold. So it wasn't like real stuff. So the hairs may stand on the body for other reasons than what we say expressions of loving ecstasy. But the genuine feelings actually do come in contact with pure devotional service when it's offered to Krishna. And the price of that is one has to cry for Krishna. That's called lalyam. In the Nectar of Devotion, this is mentioned. There's one verse quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami, and one of the words in it is lalyam. Lalyam means greed or longing, spiritual greed, longing for Krishna to somehow or other come into my heart, come into my life, come into my existence, and just completely capture me. So, this is the prayer. Now, one who is on this platform may sometimes, and many times, and we might say most of the times, will check these symptoms in public. If these things are done in public, they will feel embarrassed, because sometimes these do happen involuntarily. And this happened to Srila Prabhupada many times, where when he was talking about the mercy of Gaur Nittai, this was in America in 1975 in the Atlanta Temple, and Prabhupada was just glorifying the mercy of Gaur Nittai. And then at one point, he became overwhelmed with emotion, and he fell silent, thinking of how merciful Gaur Nittai was. And then he just lowered his head, and it was complete silence, and the whole room was completely silent. It was full. There was devotees outside of the temple looking in the windows, because the temple room was so packed. It was like pin drop silence. And after, it seemed like hours, but it was only a few moments, Prabhupada came back, and you could see, and it was just tears just flowing from his eyes. And he said, chant Hare Krishna. That's all he could say. His emotions were too strong, he couldn't speak. But Prabhupada many times would be experiencing these things in our presence, and he would make a strong effort to check them. So a devotee doesn't want to make a show of themselves to others, and this is because there are a class of people who just love to make dramatic performances out of love of God by exhibiting these symptoms in a false way just to attract attention and followers like that. But these symptoms are actually genuine. So a serious devotee, when they do rise up, especially if they're in public, if they're alone, they will not check them. But if they're in public, they will make an effort to check them like that. So, because they don't want to be, seen as being advanced. Their natural humility overshadows their ecstatic feelings. And one of the symptoms is that one's heart changes. One no longer looks at the material world in the same way. One sees the material world as simply a void. They see everything maybe they had in the past that had some value, maybe their family members, their friends, their possessions, everything. They think, they just look at it and they see no value and no purpose in any of it. They're actually a lost, they're like haunted by a ghost. They can no longer function in this material world, and all they want to do is serve Krishna according to their mood of service, which is their natural mood in the spiritual. They long to be situated in their eternal loving relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. And so it's very difficult for them to live a normal life. They don't live a normal life. They're just so much absorbed in Krishna. That's all they can think about is Krishna. And all they can think about is how to serve Krishna. On this stage, there are certain external symptoms that they exhibit. They're very tolerant and unperturbed, even faced with very distressful situations. And this is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that one is absorbed in loving God. Even the most dangerous situations, they're not disturbed, even in the least. Even if they're, what was it? I don't know if this story really pertains, but it just shows the power of Prabhupada's mercy and how much the devotees have absorbed that mercy. Aishwarya Rish Prabhu was telling this story just 2 days ago here and during the Kirtan Mela, when Brahmananda and Pushtakrishna Maharaj were preaching in Bangladesh. This was during the war in 1973. And at that time, you know, the Pakistani army had taken over, and they were practically going around executing everybody who was not Muslim. So people were trying to escape the country. So there were buses that were leaving the country, but the armies were stopping the buses at the border, and anyone who was not a Muslim, they were killing them with, you know, firing squad. So on the bus is Brahmananda and Tushtakrishna. And they're dressed in their dhotis. The bus stops. The army gets on, sees these two persons, says, "Get off." They forcibly take him off. They put him in and say, "All right, now we're going to execute you." So Brahmananda's standing there along with Pushtakrishna Maharaj, I'm sorry. So Brahmananda's thinking, he turns to Pushtakrishna, he said, "Get ready, we're going back to Godhead." And he holds his beads out like this. And so Pushtakrishna Maharaj follows, and he starts chanting his beads, holding it out like this. And the soldiers are looking, and I never saw anybody really have this mood during the execution. So they were bewildered. Here, they're smiling too. They're holding their beads, they're smiling, and Brahmananda's thinking, "Soon we'll be back with Krishna." And then the person who was conducting the execution just stopped the whole thing. He said, "Who are you guys anyway?" And they start talking a little bit. He said, "All right, get out of here, you can go." Just let them go. Prabhupada was praying for them because Prabhupada knew they were in a dangerous situation. So by Prabhupada's prayers and their fearlessness, they were able to continue on their devotional service. So this is an example of the higher stages of bhakti. When one is absorbed in Krishna, one, even life and death doesn't make a difference because Krishna is there. When Krishna's not there, life is death. When Krishna's there, death is the beginning of eternal life with Krishna. So these are some of the symptoms that are exhibited on the higher stage. tolerant and unperturbed even when faced with distressful situations. Utilization of time, extremely eager to use every moment in the service of the Lord. This is an indication. When you see someone who has that mood, they're exhibiting symptoms on the Bhava platform. Doesn't want to waste a moment. Strong aversion to wasting time. So that's 2 and 3 are similar. Well, Srila Prabhupada would travel with his devotees sometime. And sometimes he'd be preparing to go. And just before he'd leave, it would be around Gayatri time. So he would sit down and chant his Gayatri. And the devotees would sit with Prabhupada and chant their Gayatri with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was fast with his Gayatri. So when he would finish his Gayatri, he'd get up and get in his car and leave. And if you weren't ready to go, you didn't go. Prabhupada wasn't waiting for you, because his mood was, every minute is to serve Krishna. That's one of the things that devotees always said about Prabhupada. He never wasted a moment. And if you weren't ready to be in that mood with him, you couldn't stay with him. He would not have small talk or waste time. And he was always absorbed in how to spread Krishna consciousness. That was his mood. He used every moment like that. That's the mood of one who's on a higher platform. Strong aversion to wasting even a moment. They think, and if they do waste a moment, they think, I just wasted this moment. This is terrible. I'm not going to do it again. Yeah, and they actually regret wasting time. That's the third. Strong aversion. That's not a small thing. And Prabhupada would get angry sometimes if someone tried to waste his time. This anger was an expression of his love for Krishna. It wasn't just being angry at the person. It was just his mood of not wanting to waste time if someone was trying to waste his time. And sometimes you'd see Prabhupada get very, strong. Without pride, worthless. They feel very worthless. They have no pride. Complete conviction that he will attain Krishna. He's sure that he will get Krishna. Great hope. That's called Ashabandha. Strong hope. I will achieve Krishna. That's number 5. Where's number 6? It's not here. So these are 6 of the 9 symptoms. They're all 9 are mentioned in the Nectar Devotion, I think in the second section of Nectar Devotion. So these are some symptoms. So this stage in Sattvika Bhava, experiencing some of the ecstasies, these symptoms happen automatically. When Prabhupada was taking darshan of Radha Govinda in Vrindavan, Radha Govinda in New York, the deities of Prabhupada, he was exhibiting very much strong spiritual emotions, and the devotees could see that. So this is a stage called Bhava stage, and some of the symptoms that one actually feels Krishna's presence and then feels Krishna's leaving their presence. So one moment they're feeling really happy, and the next moment they express some unhappiness. It's like back and forth almost. They're feeling, we can't see it, but they're feeling the presence of Krishna and then the absence of Krishna. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai Ki Jai. So this is the 6th stage. Any questions about this? These symptoms, the mood, the stage, or anything, how the stage develops? And then I don't have too much to say on this. I could read some of my notes. One is free to cultivate pure spiritual emotions. One's mind are automatically under the influence of Krishna's Swarup Shakti energy. Rupa Goswami compares bhava to a ray of sunlight and prema to the sun itself. Bhava bhakti is distinct from prema and sadhana bhakti, but contains elements of both. It's like on the leaving sadhana bhakti and moving into prema bhakti, it has the symptoms of both prema bhakti and sadhana bhakti. By cultivating the various ingredients of aesthetic rapture, and by identify with a particular role model in Krishna Leela from the vantage point of one's inner spiritual identity. In other words, one aspires or has already aspired in the previous stage or en ruchi to follow an eternal associate of the Lord in Sri Vrindavan Dham. What does that mean? There's two things, anuskaran and anushadan. Anushadan means to follow in the footsteps. Anuskaran means to imitate. Imitation is cheap. Imitation is, what we say, unreal. One cannot imitate the activities of great souls. When people try to do that in order to somehow or other show some symptoms of advancement, or just I want to be like them, so I imitate what they do. No, this is not Vaishnava. Vaishnava hears about the persons they are aspiring to follow, glorifies them, chants their names, their glories, prays to them, and worships them in various ways. And that way, that eternal associate will help to direct that person to higher levels of spiritual understanding. And if that person is not in the mood of your internal swarup, that person will bring you to where you actually are. Because they actually know who you are spiritually. So this is mentioned that one should adopt a eternal associate of the Lord and hear about that and glorify that and pray for that so they can help one, assist one in coming to one's perfectional stage. This is required. It's not optional. If we don't do this on these higher stages, then we're missing something in the praxis. We need a help of an eternal associate. We can adopt one of the, just like Tulsi. Tulsi Devi is an eternal associate of the Lord in Sri Vrindavan Dham. We can pray Tulsi Devi to bring us to. We actually sing, when we sing the Tulsi song, we're actually praying, my dear Lord, bring me to Sri Vrindavan Dham. In the translation, it mentions that. You are a residence of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Prabhupada established Tulsi Devi is one of the highest forms of worship in Vaishnav culture. We just kind of like, oh, there's Tulsi, we offer three drops, we go around, what's next? She's an eternal associate. She's manifested her mercy by appearing in the form of a Tulsi tree. But she's actually Brinda Devi, who makes all the arrangements, or assists Purnamasi, who is Yogamaya in the spiritual world, assisting Purnamasi in making all arrangements for Radha and Krishna to come together in various ways. She's a very elevated personality, and she's come in the form of this Tulsi tree. So when you read those prayers to Tulsi Devi, they're not small. In fact, Prabhupada was challenged by some other Vaishnavas, and even one of his godbrothers. How can you give this to the Westerners? This is so high. They'll never understand this. No heck will they ever develop the qualifications to worship Tulsi properly. But Prabhupada, in the mood of giving Mahaprabhu's mission, adopted certain things that were quite elevated, and at the same time teaching us how to approach these things in the proper way. But understanding that where we are and what we're worshiping is a quite a different level of understanding and practice like that. So she's one of the eternal associates one can pray to, and of course one can adopt you know, one of the residents of Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, Subal, or one of the gopis, to pray, to assist in our, what we say, development of higher levels of bhakti. This is required on these stages. Any comments or questions about bhava bhakti? It's a very difficult subject, I know. Just for me to give this class, I'm thinking, Yes, Anuradha? Ashyabandha, it means great hope. Great hope. Not hope, but great hope. I will achieve love of God. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to achieve love of God. That's on the lower stages. On the higher stages, one is actually experiencing it. Great hope. Sometimes we call it hope against hope. There's really no hope, but still, let me hope anyway. But higher than hope against hope is complete hopelessness. So when you reach the stage of complete hopelessness, you have reached the stage of the proper mood of your expression of loving sentiment. There's no hope that I'll ever make it. But in that no hope, somehow or other, you become qualified to receive the ultimate perfection. Because if you think you can do it, then that's a disqualification. So hoping that you'll do it is acceptable, but hoping, knowing that there's no hope, is even better. But higher than that is hopelessness. So you can choose which level of... It's hopeless. How will I ever... But I know your mercy is great. You've showed your mercy to even the most fallen conditioned souls in this world, the jug eyes and mud eyes. So I do have hope. But actually, when I look at myself, there's no hope. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were condemning themselves in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are so fallen. Jugai and Madai never took up service to the Islamic government. Look, we did. We gave up our caste. We gave up everything just to serve these low-class people. They did it for a reason, to protect the Brahminical community from being tortured by the Nawab. But at the same time, I know when they did that, they were expressing how fallen they were for doing that. And so in that expression of fallingness, they were saying, Jagai and Madai, they're much better than we are. They never took up the service of these malaychus. We have done that. So they were expressing that to Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya was seeing their natural humility. But that's how they were feeling. You see, when we read the prayers of the great souls, and they talk just like, what is that prayer? It's a bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sare pape rate. What is the first word? Amara jivan. Sare pape rate. Nahiyo puyera lesa. And he's saying, Sada pape rate. I am so sinful. Pape means sinful. Sada means always sinful. I'm always sinful. There's no hope for me. He's singing like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a person we take instructions and guidance from. And why is he singing like that? So he'll be known as a humble devotee? No, he's feeling like that. These are the feelings of persons who are on a higher platform. The understanding is the more a person progresses in the process of their devotional service, the more they feel unqualified, low, wretched, sinful, and what we say, just useless. When we first joined the Hare Krishna movement, let me see, it'll take me maybe a few more months and I'll be a pure devotee. We used to call it PDS, Pure Devotee Syndrome. He joins the movement, he's doing all kinds, he's chanting his rounds very seriously in the morning, he's doing all kinds of service, he dances in the kirtans, he's eating nice, I got the process down. I must be a pure devotee. Maybe if I haven't made it yet, it'll be very soon. But, you know, as you make advancement in Krishna consciousness, you start to understand that, you know, I'm so fallen. It's like, we call it like, ever try to wash coal, you know, a piece of coal, and you say, I'm going to clean coal. So the more you scrub the coal, what happens? It just exudes more darkness or dirt. So a devotee feels like that. My heart is so dirty. And the more I chant the Hare Krishna, the more I can just see how fallen I am. So we get the examples from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from Rupa Goswami, and all the great souls, they just think they're the lowest of the low. Although they're on the highest spiritual platform. So these are symptoms of advancement. And the devotee feels very, very humble. They feel completely useless. They give respects to everyone and never consider themselves even noticeable. Oh, I see. Yeah, Sanatan Goswami. He didn't even want to walk past the Jagannath Puri temple because he was afraid that if when the pujaris would come back and forth, they would see him. And he felt so contaminated, it would spoil their day if they saw him. That's how he was feeling. So in order to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to see Mahaprabhu. He took another route, and he didn't go past the Jagannath temple. He came by the way of the beach. And this was in the month of Jaist. Now Jaist is the month of July, and the sands were hot and burning. When he got there, he offered his obeisances. Lord Chaitanya noticed his feet. He said, your feet are all burnt and are full of blisters. Which way did you come? And he said, my dear Lord, I came by way of the beach. He said, why did you take that route? Why didn't you go past the Jagannath temple? And Sanatan Goswami was feeling, he didn't even want to explain why he did it. But he said, my dear Lord, I'm so contaminated. I didn't want to contaminate the pujaris. That's how he was feeling. Lord Chaitanya glorified the humility of Sanatan Goswami and said, Sanatan Goswami, there is no one who exhibits humility on the level of you. And Lord Chaitanya actually said that. One can never understand the humility of Sanatan Goswami. So humble. And here, he's so elevated. And it's amazing, we were speaking about this yesterday, that pride has a tendency to enter into a person who has some qualities. We see that in material life quite often. The more qualified a person are, the more proud they become of their qualities or their activities. So when you have very little, you might say humility is a little bit more easier to, you know, to acquiesce, to bring about. But when you have a lot, you know, you might be noticed as a great devotee and have so many good qualities, but still, humility is there. How glorious that is! How glorious that! So persons on this platform are exhibiting great amounts of humility because they're feeling the presence of Krishna. They're actually experiencing Krishna within their own heart. And sometimes Krishna leaves and then they feel unhappy. And then Krishna comes back and they feel happy. So that their emotions are being drawn from side to side by Krishna's apparent disappearance and appearance within their consciousness. Any other questions? Yes, Mataji, yes. Strong aversion to wasting time, yeah. These symptoms of compassion, tolerance. Wasting time. If someone was wasting his time, he would become upset. And he also preached to us not to waste time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you see someone wasting time, tell them don't waste time. Chant Hare Krishna. You can always chant Hare Krishna, even if you have apparently nothing to do. The holy name is always available. Just chant, then you're not wasting time. At any time you can just chant. Don't waste. Prabhupada did a dramatic expression in one class. He stopped the class, it was a Bhagavatam class in the morning. He said, it's now 7:35. And then he waited. He says, now it's 7:36. 7:35 on December 23rd, 1974 is no longer here. It is gone. You can't buy it back. You may be a crorepati. You may be a millionaire. You can't buy that moment back. How valuable time is. Bhaktisiddhanta also says, money has value, but time is precious. Time is precious. Money, you can get it, and you can lose it, and you can regain it. But time goes in one direction. So, and there's many, many verses in the Bhagavatam that illustrates the importance of using every moment in the best possible way. Yes, there was Kala Chakra, yeah. No, the hopelessness doesn't create inertia or stagnation. It's hopeless, but your mercy is great. But still, it's hopeless. You have to understand the mood. When you look at it yourself, it's hopeless. When you look at Krishna's mercy, it becomes successful. And that's how they look at it. They look at it. When we look at ourselves, we say it's hopeless. There's no chance. But then we look at Krishna's mercy, and we see how his mercy is given to others who are very fallen. Then we think there's hope. So it's a constant swaying of the different moods like that. Another question? There was a hand up. Yes. Ananda? Well, it depends. It could be real, it could be, you know, shadow. It doesn't mean because you're a new devotee you can't express emotions on the high platform. It says that the holy name of the Lord can give ecstasy even to a neophyte if their consciousness is in the right mood. In other words, if they're completely receptive, their hearts are open, their minds are receptive to the holy name, they can experience ecstasy. Even a brand new, even non-devotees. That's the power of the, but it's not consistent. So when we speak about new persons, yeah, it's possible. But then again, we instruct that one should not try to, you know, allow these things to manifest. When you feel them coming, you should try to check them. Try to check them. Yes, Prabhu? Yeah. Everything's done as a service, it's fine. But when it's done just for some, you know, egoistic expression, no. Raising your hands in the air during kirtan is a sign of surrender. It's a sign of glorification, it's a sign of surrender. It's recommended we do that. By performing these activities according to the Acharya's directions, it helps to develop that proper mood in kirtan. So if you're standing in kirtan and you're thinking, I'll wait till the ecstasy comes, it'll never come. You have to sing, you have to dance, you have to raise your arms, you have to get into the kirtan just as a service. And as you do that, then Krishna says, oh, okay. They're into it. And then you start to feel. So if you wait for the feelings to come first, they may, but that's not the proper mood. The proper mood is to sing with enthusiasm, to dance. Prabhupada said you should dance like, what is it called, a Swami step. He showed us how to dance, the Swami step. He said, raise your arms like that. These should be done. If you're there sitting like, when's that ecstasy coming? I can see the other devotees have it. Maybe they'll come to this section of the room sooner or later. No, you got to get into it. It's like doing a service. Just like when you do a service, you have to act. So in the same way in kirtan, you have to... I mean, if you're there and you're absorbing the holy name and you're just hearing the holy name, what that does is help you to inspire to get to sing and to dance. But if you never come to that stage in the kirtan, then you're not in kirtan. You're not there. You haven't really, you're not present in the kirtan. Any other questions? Yes, Tulsi. You can say it in your... You want to say it in Croatian and the devotees can translate it for you? For someone else or for yourself? For yourself or for someone else? Don't worry about it. If someone else is doing it, it could be real, it may not be. But the question was also mentioned here, and Andavardhana asked the same question. It may be real. It may be actual feelings of emotion that arise. There's different, in the Shastras, it says there's different characteristics about Krishna that invokes emotional feelings. His flute, the way he stands, his dress, his smile, his, what else? His bugle horn. Different qualities in paraphernalia of Krishna can cause a person to feel ecstasy. And just the singing itself, when it's done so nicely and devotees are singing nicely, a person whose heart is open, that means they're just absorbing everything. They may experience tears. But Prabhupada told us to try to check it and not, but sometimes you can't check it. It happens. But you really can't tell from another person when what's happening to another person. Unless you're really on a high platform. You can, then you can see. Prabhupada could see what was real and what was not real. When the devotee, when that person came in to see Prabhupada, the devotees were actually thinking, this person is in ecstasy. But Prabhupada could see it wasn't. So you really can't tell. It's not so important. If I see somebody crying during the kirtan, I just say, nice, that's nice. And I just divert my attention away from that. I don't focus on anybody else's ecstasies. It's not, I don't think it's a thing we should do. Yes, any other questions? Paroksha? It's not an external feature, it's a consciousness. The consciousness is, I'm using every moment in Krishna's service. Whether you are running 90 miles an hour or 5 miles an hour, that's not the point. The point is how you're using your time. Yeah. It's not like we, by going faster, we're saving time. Maybe, maybe not, but we might be causing more problems and then making mistakes, and that wastes time. Sometimes when you rush, you make a mistake and it throws you back in time. You have to fix the mess you made. So a devotee is conscious and cautious. Conscious of Krishna and cautious to act in the proper way. So as not to do things impetuously or what we say, mindlessly. So not wasting time means focusing, that's all. Okay, does that help? Any questions on the men's side? No. Yes? What is Krishna experiencing when we have these symptoms? What is he experiencing? Haribo. I think Prabhupada would say, why don't you ask him? Prabhupada told us many times, he answered that a question like that many times. He could be experiencing so many things, I don't know. You're asking me because you think I know what Krishna's experiencing. I haven't reached that level. I can ask him. Whether he answers me or not is another thing, and whether I can hear his answer or not is another thing. I don't know. Yes. One should do that. Yeah, one should when they feel that emotion, they should remove themselves or try to hide that or stop it. Yeah. It happens. If somebody's crying, don't push him out the door. I don't recommend that, because they might be experiencing multi-ecstasies, and one of them is anger, so they might. So you might get it. Just like, what was it? In the kirtan in Jagannath Puri, when Srivastava Kaur was watching, what was it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance, And Bharata Purudra was there, and there was another person, I think his name was Subhananda. I can't remember his name. So Srivas Thakur was in ecstasy watching Lord Chaitanya dancing. And this other person couldn't see, so he tried to push Srivas Thakur out of the way so he could see. So Srivas Thakur turned around and slapped him in ecstasy. And then that person started to get upset, and King Prata Purudra says, "You don't realize how fortunate you are to get slapped by Srivas Thakur. So consider it a benediction." Yeah. So I don't recommend pushing people out. You never know what kind of ecstasy they might exhibit. But you're right. To answer the question, you're right. A person who is experiencing that emotion should not stay in front of the deities. It's mentioned in a nectar devotion. Because it looks like you're trying to attract attention, although it may be real. And others will misunderstand, that's the point. Others will either criticize, misunderstand, or falsely praise. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea. Yes, Radha Charan. A lost cause? I think he's in contact with the cause of all causes. I don't think he's lost cause, no. Uncontrollably? We don't, you know, recommend you do that. The person should check that. They should try to check that. And Prabhupada would check his own ecstasy. Sometimes he couldn't because the force of the ecstasy was too strong. But many times we saw Prabhupada about to exhibit some ecstatic emotion and restrained it. If it's happening and you don't have any control, you should ask someone else to control it for you. I don't know if I can give a good practical answer to that. It's just sometimes that happens. The thing is to hide it. If you're crying, just, you know, cover your face so nobody sees it, including Krishna. Hide it. We don't want to make a show. It's not a show, it's real, but it's for others we'll never understand. So it's not done in public. We did try to restrain that. I mean, you go to some temples in India and there's people rolling on the ground and exhibiting all kinds of things. So this is done pretentiously. And Prabhupada never liked that, and Bhaktisiddhanta was very strong about that. So even if it's real, a person should take some precautions to check it. Mm-hmm. That's recommended. Yes, Michelle? Is prana bhakti and bhava bhakti the same, or is there any difference? Prema bhakti and bhava bhakti the same? Prema bhava bhakti is like a plant that's flowering, and prema bhakti is like a fully blown flowered plant. So the intensity. So we read here, prema bhava bhakti is like a ray of the sun, and prema bhakti is like the sun. Like that. So we don't have much time. So the seventh verse and the eighth verse, which is the last two verses, deal with very high symptoms of ecstasy. Usually these two verses pertain to Srimati Radharani. And Lord Chaitanya, in the ecstasy of Radharani, speaks these two verses. So maybe we can just chant these verses. Does everyone remember them? What is the first word for the seventh verse? Yugayitam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayitam shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda vidare name. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be 12 years or more. Tears are falling from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I'm feeling all vacant in your absence. Aslishyava pinavritam punastumam adarshanam marahatam karo tuva yata tata va viradatu lampato mat pranam dastu avinapuraha. What's the first word in the translation? I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, makes me brokenhearted by being not present before me. He's completely free to do anything and everything because he's my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So these two verses are prema bhakti, but they're different. One is prema in separation, one is prema in meeting. The first one is prema in separation, which is called vipralamba bhav. The second one is prema in meeting, which is called sambhog. So these two, Lord Chaitanya is exhibiting his loving emotions in the mood of Srimati Radharani for Krishna. That a moment seems like 12 years. Feeling your separation, it's like the moment lasts forever. We see that. Time is relative. If you're happy, what is time like? How would you describe time when you're happy? Fast. When you're happy, time goes fast. When you're sad, time is like slow. But when you're waiting, how fast does time go? Doesn't move. The clock stops when you're waiting. Yeah. So time is relative to your consciousness. And when you're in love, time is eternal. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya is showing that one moment in separation from you is so painful. It's like 12 years or more. And therefore, I'm feeling unhappy. The mood of loving relationship with Krishna and the mood of separation, longing for that union, causes the heart to be intensified so much that one is actually feeling the presence in the mood of absence. When Krishna left Vrindavan, he told the gopis, I'm never separate. I'm always there in your heart. Just think of me. And he was actually telling the truth, but at the same time, they wanted Krishna's personal presence. They could feel Krishna in their heart. And in that heartfelt presence, but at the same time, they were exhibiting that same mood that Lord Chaitanya is talking. They felt separation, although they were meeting Krishna in their heart. So the longing for Krishna and the mood of separation is a form of meeting Krishna within the heart. And when meeting comes after longing, how much more wonderful the meeting is. Just like we see that in ordinary, just like I travel in airports, and sometimes you see people meeting their friends and relatives when they get off the plane. Such excitement to see each other. You know, they embrace, they're laughing. And then after a few seconds, it's different. Right? You know, it's just the initial meeting after the separation brings such happiness because there's a longing to meet. And thinking about the person and thinking about the times we had together increases that longing. And then when that meeting comes, the ecstasy is even higher. But therefore, when you're always with a person, you don't really appreciate as much as when you are not with them and then with them again. It's very, it's good. This is good marital counseling. You want to keep the relationship together. It's nice to have a little separation once in a while, just to keep the flavor going. Not too long. It seemed like nobody agreed with me on that one. Because I don't have any practical experience. But anyway, this is what I understand. Yeah, so separation increases meeting. Now, the last verse is meeting. My dear Lord, she calls Krishna a dibanch. What is the word in that word? Lumpito. Lumpito. You're a dibanch. This is Radharani's mood. She's calling Krishna. What is that dibanch? That your activities are so unpredictable. Sometimes you're here and sometimes you're not here. But it doesn't matter. I still love you. You can break my heart. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change my love for you. You can leave me. It doesn't matter. I will never give up my loving relationship. So this is the highest form of love. Even when the apparent partner doesn't reciprocate, but the love remains strong and ever-increasing, this is the highest form of love. Love for the sake of love and not for the sake of reciprocation. But when reciprocation is there, of course, the sweetness is intensified. But even in that lack of reciprocation, the love is not disturbed. So this is the final expression of loving sentiments in the bhakti prayer, this last verse. So generally we say these higher moods are for the gopis and for Radharani like that. It's very rare to see that in this world. So this is what Lord Chaitanya gave us in these eight prayers, the complete science of loving devotion to Krishna from the beginning stages of strata all the way up to the highest stage of loving emotions for Krishna in the mood of Sri Vrindavan. Any more comments or questions? Yes, Bhakti Gamya. As we recite the later verses, we're appreciating the great souls. Yeah. Yeah. We should appreciate these sentiments and see the beauty of the process of bhakti. How sadhana bhakti, which is what we're all accustomed to, only has two stages. It's vaidhi bhakti and raganuga bhakti. Bhava bhakti has six stages. And prema bhakti has eight stages. So the mellows of loving sentiment and the practice of devotion are much more prolific in the higher stages. There's much more information or expressions in these higher stages. But because we don't practice them, we're not on that level, we just hear about the major symptoms which are mentioned. Nectar Devotion mentions them, and Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a more detailed understanding of these higher sentiments. We should read about them. Well, we should not try to imitate them, but we should understand the beauty of this process and how the soul's loving relationship with Krishna is expressed in so many ways. Krishna is unlimited, and love for Krishna is also unlimited. And it's unlimited in its quantity, and it's unlimited in its diversity too. There is so much diversification in love of God that it's very hard to understand. So we, you know, Prabhupada gave us this knowledge, but he didn't want us to misunderstand it. Therefore, his Bhaktivedanta purports, where he explains how we should approach these higher teachings, is fundamental for our understanding, so we don't misunderstand. We have to read Prabhupada's explanations and the explanations of the other acharyas also. They caution us, and they also guide us to understand these things. Everything has to be supported by Shastra, and that Shastra has to come from those who are on the, who are in our line, such as Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Jiva Goswami. These are the acharyas that teach us these higher mellows. And they give the explanations for the conditioned souls to help us understand. It's like looking through a lens. They're giving us the lens into the spiritual world, but without that lens you can't understand anything. That lens is their explanations. So they don't just teach it, they also explain it. So along with hearing about them is reading the explanations of the acharyas. We must do that. Prabhupada said, if you're reading about Radha and Krishna, pastimes in Vrindavan, and you're feeling lusty desires, he says, stop reading. He says, these pastimes are meant to free us from these tendencies. But if the opposite has happened, he says, you're not qualified to read, stop. Because you're getting the nectar, you're getting poison from something that is meant to give nectar. So, you know, we have to approach these through the acharyas and through the guidance of our spiritual teachers. Our own spiritual teachers. Okay. I don't know if we have any more time because it's a little bit after 9, and so they have to prepare for the kirtan program, and there is prasad. Thank you very much. Shri Shikshastakam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna.